Are you consistently marketing? Do you know how to market? Do you know where to market? Do you know what to say? And a lot of people can't figure out the marketing piece if they have not figured out the niche piece, because you need to know who your ideal client is. Welcome to the Book More Clients Photography Podcast. You can stop spending hours on Google and YouTube because you just found your number one resource for growing a profitable and sustainable photography business. Hi, I'm Brooke Jefferson. I'm a believer, wife, mama to two, and Oklahoma family photographer. I left the classroom in 2018 to pursue my photography career full-time. Now, I'm here to help you do the same. In this podcast, we're covering the most asked about topics, including pricing, marketing, client experience, and all things systems and workflows. You won't find any fluff or BS here, just tried and true strategy. Are you ready? Grab your kids some snacks and charge those camera batteries. It's time to jump in. Let's face it, we are strapped for time. From momming to photographing, there are not enough hours in the day. That's why I want to invite you to listen to an episode from the Called to Both podcast with my friend, Joy Michelle. In episode 82, Joy shares three ways you can scale your business income without adding any extra time. Can I get an amen? Called to Both is a weekly business podcast for ambitious women building both the business and the life they love. You can listen to the episode that I mentioned here by finding the link in the show notes. You guys, you have to listen to the Call to Both podcast with Joy. It is seriously the best. I love listening to her podcast when I'm walking the neighborhood, doing the laundry, washing the dishes, because like I said, we don't have enough time. So you can catch me multitasking. But when you listen to Joy's episodes, you are going to feel inspired and feel like you can do anything. So head on over to episode 82 on the Call to Both podcast. And again, you can find that link in the show notes. All right. I asked you guys in the Facebook group a couple weeks ago to drop your questions for a Q&A podcast episode. And here it is. So we took eight questions that we thought I could get through in half an hour, and also some of the most questions I get asked all the time. So these are going to be popular ones or really good ones that I was like, ooh, I could do a whole episode on that. So we have eight questions for you, and I thought it'd be fun to bring on my right hand, Courtney. So Courtney is here with us. She's going to be asking the questions and just making this a little more fun to listen to. So hey, Courtney, are you ready?
Hey, Brooke, I'm ready.
All right, let's dive into it.
Okay, question number one. How do you keep track of your editing list?
Ooh, good one. Okay, I want to know how other photographers keep track, because for me, I'm at the point now where I have so many and my memory, I just cannot rely on my brain. So I have to have a system for it. So I use a project board in my client. Well, what do I want to call it? I guess it is. It's like a client management software. It's not IrisWorks, but it's one that helps me with the tasks. And so mine's called MeisterTask. I'm sure you guys have heard of Trello or Asana or whatever they're called. So I use a board, and on my board, it has different columns. So it has a column of upcoming sessions. And so I make a little card and I have the client's name, what type of session it's going to be, and then the date of that session. Then the next column is I move them over when the session has happened and they're waiting on sneak peeks. And then I move them over to the next column, which is currently editing. And then there's a last one that's called gallery delivery. And so then it sits there as completion. I have to do this, you guys, especially when people need to reschedule. And like I'm waiting on them to actually reschedule the session. I have to have some place where I can easily tag them, move them over, or I'm going to forget about them. I mean, hello, mom brain is so real. And so that's something that I struggle with. But yeah, so that's how I keep track of my editing list. I actually use a physical board and I slide their card over depending on where they're at in the process.
So good. Next question is, I'm registered as a sole proprietor. What are the advantages of being an LLC?
Okay, great question. So before I dig into this, as always, I have to give the little caveat. I'm not a tax representative and I'm not able to speak as a professional in the legal area. However, because I operate my business and I have been both things, I'm going to give you the advice that I've always been told. And then you guys can go deeper on episode 287, which we just aired a couple months ago at this point when you're listening to this. So if you'll just scroll back, it's all about taxes and all the questions that you want to know. So, okay, the main reason that you want to move from being a sole proprietor, so it doesn't even matter, you don't have to do anything to become that, you just are. So from the day you start your business, you are in a tax category as being a sole proprietor. So everyone listening to this, if you're not an LLC or an S Corp, you are a sole proprietor by default. Now, you want to move your business into the tax category of an LLC as soon as possible. And here's why. The day you do that, you should also have separate bank accounts. So for me, I have a Brooke Jefferson personal checking account and I have a business checking account for Brooke Janae Photography. Those are split. And so I do all my business transactions out of the business account and I do all of my personal ones like paying for my mortgage and paying bills and groceries, all those things comes out of my personal. The reason that the LLC is something you want to move into because it is a source of protection for you. So if you were worst case scenario, ever to get sued or get into some type of court situation, they cannot touch anything that you personally own. They can only move into the business account and things like that. So I know we always talk about worst case scenario, but you just want to be an LLC literally from day one of starting your business or from day one of someone paying you for a session, you really need to move into that LLC. So that is how I'm going to answer that question.
Absolutely. Okay, the next question. How do you handle gloomy day weather? I don't feel nearly as in love with my work if the sun isn't at least partly shining. My vibe is the golden hour glow, and when it's a gloomy, cloudy day, I hate it. Is it fair to reschedule for cloudy days?
Man, okay, so this one was such a good question, and I'm just gonna tell you from my perspective and my point of view. So I have dealt with this so much in the last couple of weeks. It is now April, and the weather is always up in the air. So yesterday, for instance, I did reschedule a senior session for this very reason. I knew it was going to be cloudy. I knew it was going to get windy. I knew there were going to be storms rolling in. And then a couple of days before that, there weren't any storms, but I was not loving how dark the sky was. And so I want my clients to have the best possible session. And as long as it's in my wheelhouse and I have the availability to reschedule them, I will. So I always text my client or however you're choosing to communicate with yours. And I just say, hey, the weather's not looking great today. Here's why I would prefer for, your session to happen with a little more sun or at least a brighter cloudy day. So how do you feel about rescheduling it? And then typically they will say, yeah, we'll do whatever you think is best, or that's totally fine, but we can only do this day or this day. And so again, as long as it's doable for both parties, I say absolutely reschedule it. I know some people hate rescheduling. And this is a very good reason. Okay, so the only reason that I think you would give me pushback on this question is if you said there's not even one day in the next 4 weeks that I could reschedule this, that's a sign to me that you're overbooking. So you probably need to raise your prices and you need to book a little bit less so you have the opportunity to do this. So for me, I only need about 8 sessions a month. And so I have plenty of days where I can reschedule people. So my answer is yes, I think it's fair to reschedule for cloudy days, but you have to make sure that you have the ability to do so.
Absolutely. As a brand new photographer, what things should I look for when editing my photos?
All right. So many things. And we have a post in the free Facebook group where we tell you guys to like drop your images if you want them critiqued. I actually really love these posts because it reminds me so much of the earlier years when I first started. I didn't know what to look for. I didn't know that you were supposed to straighten up the horizontal line and things like that. So I'm just going to step into the mode of me pulling up a image and exactly my process to do that. So what I do first, I like to crop my image. I don't know, I'm a weirdo. If it's even a little bit crooked, I can't even focus on anything else. So the first thing I do is I crop it and I make sure that everything is in full alignment, horizontal alignment. That's what I'm looking for. One of the things I learned a couple years into photography was like, you want to make sure that the background's not completely crooked to where it looks like it's sideways, right? You want to be very careful to straighten that up. The next thing I look for, I like to get a good preset base going. So I kind of go through my go-to presets and I find one that is as close as possible to the skin tone and the colors that I want it to be. And then I go in and I tweak everything else. I feel like the biggest mistake is editing your image from scratch on every single photo and every single session. One, you're wasting so much time. And two, you are never going to have that consistent look if you're not using some of the same tones, the same, you know, time of the day, lighting situation, things like that. They don't all need to look exactly the same, but that's one of the things I didn't realize. So if you're not using a preset, I definitely want you to, so you can get the majority of your sessions somewhat consistent. Skin tones is the biggest thing that gets overlooked. Guys, Lightroom is so much easier today than it's ever been. I'm actually really jealous of you guys who are starting your photography businesses right now, because look at all the masks. They're one-click masks. We used to have to do all this manually. So I'm loving it. I'm editing faster than I ever have before and way more accurately too. So don't be afraid to get into Lightroom and play around with your images. Make sure that you're using, you know, the sky mask, the subject mask, the background mask, all those things. And then again, you want to just make sure that you're not oversaturating your images. So there's so many things to look for, but those are the main things that I feel like really throws images off. So I hope that helps.
Wow. As a non-photographer, I had no idea what went into editing.
This is one of them that I want to do a whole episode on, and I might have to circle back and do it because this was such a good question.
It is a good question and good to know as well. Okay, so the next question is, I've had one client since August. How can I book more clients?
Yeah, okay, so let's address the big issue here first, which is this question was submitted back in March of 2024, which was just a few weeks ago, but August of 2023. That's a long time. And the thing here is, I want to dig into the person that asked this question because there's so many different things. It could be, are you marketing? Do you have a niche? Is it winter? Are you in an area where there's just no sessions going on right now? So there's a lot of questions that I have, which really this question is the sole purpose of why I started this podcast. Book more clients, right? That's the whole point. And it comes down to two things that I really want you to think about. One is your niche. What are you the go-to for? What do you want your calendar to be booked with? You've really got to get specific. And if you're doing a little bit of everything, that's the first thing I would dive into. The second thing is marketing. Are you consistently marketing? Do you know how to market? Do you know where to market? Do you know what to say? And a lot of people can't figure out the marketing piece if they have not figured out the niche piece, because you need to know who your ideal client is. So those are the two areas that I would dig into if you're someone that is struggling to book right now. I also pulled three episodes that I want you to tune into to help you book more clients. So the first one that I have is episode 181. This is all about how to run a model call the right way, the way that's going to produce clients and not just a bunch of people who want free sessions. The second episode is 206, how to market your photography business. Literally, I lay it all out for you. And then the last one I want you to dig into is episode 154, which is all about four ways to increase your leads right now. This is a great refresher for anyone who really wants to dive into booking more clients.
Yes, ma'am. Okay, next question. Best way to price senior sessions that are more than one person in the images?
Ooh, good one. Okay, so I have actually the senior session that I was telling you guys that I rescheduled the other day. They're twins. And to be honest, I didn't really at the time think about it because this is my first set of senior twins I've ever done. I've never done senior twins before. I've done twin newborns and all the things. And so, whether you're doing newborns or seniors or whatever, when it comes to more than one person in your images, the real question comes down to how much work are you putting into it? If you're having to do double the work, meaning they want double the images, they want double the time, then that you are going to price differently. If you have, let's say they are twins and they want to split a session. So let's say you have a 2 hour senior session and you're giving them 40 images at the end of it and they want to split it straight down the middle, then quite honestly, I probably would just leave it as is. It's really, I mean, this just depends on you, right? Like if they, the seniors that I'm doing are using the same locations, they each are getting their outfit picks that they want. And then we're just splitting their images down the middle. So to me, I'm doing the same amount of work. We're just having two people in it. And then they're in a lot of the same images together too. So this, again, I'm gonna throw the ball back in your court because I think it depends on you. And you have to just make sure at the end of the day, am I actually making a profit from this or am I losing money?
Absolutely. I get, can I follow up with another question on this?
Of course you can.
Just in case somebody thinks of it. What if it's not siblings and let's say like grandma is in from out of town and she wants to be in on the senior sessions? Would you price it differently then?
Oh my goodness, that's such a good question. Okay, so here is how I do it. So this is me, Brooke Jefferson, how I choose to do it. You guys can do whatever you want to, but for me, I do like, for example, I don't know if it's tonight's session or tomorrow's session. It's senior season. You guys know what I'm talking about. So a couple of them are bringing their boyfriend or girlfriend, which by the way, y'all already know I don't like doing this. Unless you have a ring on your finger, I don't want you in the picture. But again, I'm gonna do whatever their mom and dad want me to do. And so a lot of them, so if they're in, and I'm talking like three pictures or less, so let's go back to the seniors. The seniors, I really encourage my senior mamas to get in the image. I want them in at least one photo because it's something they're never gonna get back. Then I don't charge extra. But if they're wanting, like, you know how people do, they want two, three occasions wrapped up in a one session, I politely just say, you know, I'm happy to put grandma in one or two of the images, but if you're wanting to make this more of a family and a senior session, it is going to be X amount. So I hope that answers your question, Courtney.
Does. It's so good. Yeah. And I think, your audience wanted to hear that too. So that's good. Okay. So the next question is a fun one. It's of course related to Instagram. Brooke, give us your top reel ideas.
Yes. Okay. Before you groan and moan about, oh my gosh, I don't want to do video. I don't want to make the reels. You guys, I really want to encourage you. It is so much easier than you're making it out to be. The days of dancing and acting dumb on camera, those days are gone. They're over on TikTok. Okay. Go over to TikTok if you want to do that. On for reels, it's just more of it's an interactive way, piece of content for your clients to get to know your business and you. So I was the reason this question came up is because I in the blueprint every month we do a content planning session, which just means like, for example, it's April now. So in a couple of weeks, we'll host a content planning session, meaning I'm going to help the photographers in the blueprint go ahead and start working on their content for May so that they're way ahead of the game. Okay, so one of the things we do is we talk about this. So we were talking about when we were planning for March, we were talking about different ways that people can implement reels into their marketing, into their Instagram, into their Facebook, whatever. So this is how easy this has to be, okay? You can have 5, 7, 10-second clips of just you doing photography related things or everyday related things. So here are some of the examples. So one of the reels that I created, I was at my studio and all I did was I took a few of the client closet dresses off the rack and I hung them up in the video and then I overlaid text on it. That's it. I think it was like 7, 8 seconds. And that was it. So it could be simple things like that. You could be packing your camera bag. You could be driving to a session. Obviously, don't hold the phone in your hand. You could be editing images. You could have your oldest child. Guys, my daughter comes with me now. like a little assistant, and I take her to a ton of the sessions with permission. I always ask my clients, but they're like, yeah, we don't care at all. Bring her. We would love to have some behind the scenes footage. Amazing. She follows me around and she gets stuff like that. You could have your kids or your husband or whoever stand behind your shoulder while you're editing. Or you could just buy the little stands like I have, and then you just set it up and it's like someone's behind your shoulder. And that's how you guys do it. That's it. B-roll images. You could scroll galleries. Like, it doesn't matter, but you guys are overthinking the videos. It doesn't have to be this big production. It just has to be some movement, a sneak peek, something behind the scenes. And then you come in and then you put the content on top of those reels. So those are some easy reel ideas. Take the next few days. Take your phone with you everywhere. Start getting content that you can break up into smaller chunks of video.
Absolutely. So good. Okay. Final question of the day. How do you reflect on what is or isn't working in marketing and make it a routine?
I'm obsessed with this question. And again, this is one of those that, man, I might come back and just do a whole episode on this exact topic. I'm willing to bet the majority of people, you photographers that are listening, you're not even looking at what's working. You show up when you feel like it, or you go, oh crap, I haven't posted today. And you throw something up and you never look back and see what people are resonating with. So here's your challenge. Go back to the last 6 months of content that you've done and look at what was the most popular, what got you the most reactions, what got you the most shares, what got you the most bookings. That's what we're after. Go back and see what worked and do more of that content. So that's the first step. So how to answer this is, one, you have to take time to actually review and reflect. Guys, every month in my business, Courtney and I sit down and we look at analytics. Are we growing? Are we stagnant? What resonated with people? What totally was a flop? So we're taking that time to review what works and what doesn't. So that's step one. Step two is, again, double down on what is working, but then go in and look and think, okay, what was the caption? Was it a shorter caption, a longer caption? Was it video? Was it the fact that I used one image instead of a collage, or I used a collage instead of one image? You have to go in and you have to mix it up. Don't just keep doing the same type of post or the same type of video, because you're going to get the same results. Have y'all ever heard the definition of insanity? That's what a lot of you guys are stuck in, doing the same stuff all the time. You've got to break the cycle. So then whenever you see something that's not working, I want you to dig into why. Don't just assume that because you did it one time, oh, it doesn't work for you. Here's the best example, and I think this will resonate with a lot of you. Some of you are like, my mini sessions, I'm not booking. They're flopping. They're horrible. They never work. Okay, well, let's dig into why they didn't work. Were you specific with who it was for? Are you posting at weird times during the day when nobody is on social media? You really dig in. When is your people online? What do they want? Did you price it with the budget that they have? Or are you trying to do $400 mini sessions and nobody wants to book it? You have to dig into what you're doing. And also, what does your market want? So again, reflect, review it, double down on what's working, really dig into what's not working and why. And then sometimes you can say, okay, yeah, I know why this didn't work. It was a random idea I had. I posted it on the fly. Nobody was interested. And so obviously that's not going to work. You've got to have adequate amount of time to market things. So that's my summary, quickest way to answer that question, but I may expand on this on a future episode. Okay.
Absolutely.
We did it. All right. So those are 8 of your questions that we pulled to answer. Let us know. Do you want more of these? Send me a DM. Leave us a review. Let us know what you think about the Q&A episodes, because these are really fun. Thank you, Courtney, for helping answer questions.
My pleasure. It's always good to be here.